slide. How's that? Looking good? Yep. Brilliant. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather, to reflect on the many ways in which we've been blessed. We thank you for the testimonies of blessing. We pray as we open your word today that we might be encouraged, but that we might invite your presence into every area of our life, into more and more areas of our life, that we might flourish more and more in more and more areas of life. Amen. I just want to share today on the discipline and joy of Bible reading. My wife and I have been practicing for some time now of a morning. We'll get up and we'll read a passage in the Bible and it changes our life. For some people it's a coffee of the morning that changes their life, or it might be steak and eggs and something like that might change your life. And I think it's the habits we do that change our lives. And I know Jared shared a bit on the habits that we do that change our lives. And I've started to walk a bit. It might get to run a bit, or it might get a combination. Would that be called Warun? Or exercise is important for us. Good diet is important for us. And it's the habits that you do that can change your life. And certainly healthy eating is important, so if we want to make a habit that will change our life at the beginning of this year, then you could be like me and decide that you're going to discipline and change some of your eating habits. I'm going to try and eat more carrots and more lettuce and things like that. So do I hear an amen on some of these commitments? But it can also be the habits that we think on. One of the characteristics of the human person is that we can choose how we think. And I love that reminder today to be thankful, because that can change your life. So that'll be a great habit this year, is to make a habit of changing being thankful. One lady took a calendar and she started to fill in each one of those squares on the calendar something to thank God for, and after a year or two or so, she found that she'd found something to put in every one of those squares, and she could thank God every day for the things that God is doing. And I find that's what happens when I read God's word of a morning. I can wake up at 5 or 6 of a morning and stagger out of bed, and if you speak to me at that moment, I'm probably pretty sad and grumpy. I mean, it's a big world out there. It's a tough world out there. It's a sad. And then I have my quiet time and I discover God's in control and that he's all powerful. And you can speak to me after I've had 10 or 20 minutes with God and reading God's word. I'm a different person. I'm up in the heavenlies with God. I'm invincible. Things can happen. And then another 10 minutes pass. another 10 minutes pass, and I still remember the word of God to me, and I live in that rather than living in that lower place, that down that place. So I think let's make this year a year for good habits, such as healthy eating and exercise. What we think on, affected by what we read. Let's read some good material that'll change us this day. Let's make this year habits, daily time with God. One of the things that struck me about spending time with God is that this book, this word, is not just about words. It's in fact about relationship. And so on the next slide, where have we gone? I'll have to go back. The Bible is not just words, it's about relationships. I remember I went and worked on a farm at one stage to earn a few dollars when I was studying at university. And out there on the farm, we could receive some letters to the farm, and my wife would write to me, and I'd write from the farm. It was actually a peat bog. We were digging peat, you know, and we'd work 10 hours a day to earn some money, 6 or 7 days a week, and we'd write these letters to my wife. But I'd get this letter, And you know, it wasn't just the words that I got in the letter from my, actually it was my girlfriend at that time, before we got married, I'd get this wonderful letter. And you know, when I read that, I wasn't looking for any commas that had been missed or wanting to look for the detail of it. I was looking for the relationship that it represented. When I read it with imagination. I could get a picture of my wife sitting there, you know, and my girlfriend sitting there. So I could get a inspiration about the relationship that it represented. And I know at times, if I've travelled, I've sometimes written a letter to my father or mother and got one back. And you know, it's not the words in the letter that count, it's the relationship. And when we get words in the Word of God, it's not just about words, it's about relationship. That is, Father God, creator of the universe, has entered into relationship with you. He's interested in relationship with you. And so the words that we read are words that are about relationship and relationship that God is wanting to build with you. The Bible is an invitation to relationship and mission, and an invitation to grow in relationship. So I encourage you, firstly, to have a habit each day that'll change your life, and then secondly, to have a habit that is going to build relationship with God each day that is going to change your life. And so reading God's Word is a habit that'll build relationship between you and God. As an example, John chapter 3, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. This man came to Jesus by night and said, we know that you are a teacher. No one can teach these things and do these signs unless God is with them. And Jesus said, truly, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is not just words about the need to be born again. This is an invitation into relationship. This is an invitation into relationship with God in eternity, and He's wanting to establish His eternity in your heart and life. Read this word each day and it'll change your relationships, because when you get a changed relationship between you and God, then you'll have changed relationships with everyone else all around you. And then he goes on to say in John chapter 3, if I'm old, how can I be born again? And Jesus says, truly, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you won't be able to enter in to the kingdom of God. Just like we need food and we need water and we need air, and you spoke about breathing, we also need relationships that will change our life, and relationship with God will change your life. So I encourage you, begin each day with relationship with God in ways that will change your life. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Every one of us is aware that we get tired, we're of the flesh, you get worn out. But you know, we need to recognize we're also of the Spirit. We also need to be inspired and encouraged by the Spirit. That's what you get from God's Word each day. A word of eternity speaks into the natural world in this life. It changes your life. Not only do we need to develop a relationship with God the Father, we need to develop a relationship with Jesus, who brings salvation in our lives. And that's what I love about this Word of God. The Gospels remind me each day that I'm saved and born again and transformed and changed. I can look in the mirror and see the natural person, but I can't see deep inside. But when I read God's Word, it speaks deep inside, the deep inside of God in eternity, and Christ, who came and died and gave His life for me, speaks to the deep need I have in my life, and I can say, yes, Lord, change me. God's Word can say, do you want to be changed? The Word of God, it can change me, transform me, as I begin to read about the person that God is shaping me to be. Because sometimes, in a day, we can begin to see the natural person, and at times it's good. It's good to have people around you to say, you need to shape up your life a little bit. But we need to be careful we don't get bogged down there. God in His Word speaks of the person you can become. he begins to see ahead the person you can become. I remember once I got a phone call from someone who had just come out of jail, and this lady said, would I speak to him? You know, he's got into trouble, he got involved with drugs, he stole some stuff, his wife has left him and his kids, and now he's got nothing. Would I speak to him? And so he came and he sat down there. And I said, God's word tells us that we don't have to just be stuck where we are at this moment in time, but we have a future that can be changed by his presence. If you get a vision where you could be in 6 months or 12 months, this guy who was so down and he was sinking into the chair, I thought he'd disappear down the back of the chair, suddenly shot up. He started to walk. He started to get a picture of the person he could be. And that can happen to you and I. Today, as we read God's word, as we reflect on God's word, God has purposes in eternity for you that he wants to change you and get you ready for his eternal purposes for you. God's got purposes for you in 6 months' time, 12 months' time. Actually, as you get a bit older, sometimes you begin to wear out a little bit. I think that's a reminder that we need to lift our vision to eternity, where our true hope is. Where God has purposes for us in eternity. God's word can do that, not like other newspapers or whatever can do, or the television stations can do. God's word changes our life. So I say, daily get into God's word. That will make a difference in your life. And then on to the next slide. And we know with Nicodemus... He began to realize that he needed a change in his life. Don't marvel that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. There are things in your life that can't be seen, and there are things in the life that can be seen. It's the things in your life that can't be seen that are often the things that matter most. You can't see everything that's happening deep inside your life or deep in your mind, but where God is working, there, that's what happens most. And when you read the word each day, God is able to deal with the deep inner things in your life and lead you on to the big, glorious plans that he has for you. And as someone has said, statisticians have noticed that the approximate percentage of people who die is about 100%. And someone has said, you're not actually going to get out of this life alive. You know, the things that really matter in some ways are the things in eternity. If you measure how long eternity is, it tends to be a lot longer than the 90 or 95 years or so of this life. We need to prepare not only for this life, we need to prepare for the eternal things. And you know, the eternal things aren't absent from this life. They actually can bring change in this life as well. We can pray for people and see people healed now, because eternity can change your present. We can talk to God each day and pray now, because eternity can change the situations you are in. So I encourage you to allow God to speak into the present. Because the Bible is where we're reminded of eternity, but not just in an abstract way. In the Bible, eternity touches the present and the challenges of the present. My wife and I, we like to read a bit of a devotional each day as well. And we read Oswald Chambers a day or so back, and it was Genesis chapter 16. And we've read a bit about Genesis chapter 12, Abraham called, Genesis chapter 15, Abraham has faith. And we got pretty excited. And then I read a passage in Genesis chapter 16, which says Abraham got a vision of what God was going to do, and he fell asleep, and it was very dark, and he got down and depressed, and he saw the darkness. And then God spoke to him, and God said to him, there are going to be tough times for your family, and they're going to be in Egypt, and they're going to be slaves for a while. And I thought, there's a word from God. But you know, the Bible doesn't avoid the challenging aspects of life. And it went on to speak about how God would be with them and take them out of Egypt and lead them onto the promised land, and he'd build a nation out of them. And we know today the nation of Israel is still there because God has ongoing eternal purposes for his people. And there can be tough times in your life, and you can look at the tough times and you can get down and get further down and down and down. Or you can read God's word and get reminded of his eternal good purposes that God is wanting to work in your life and bring you through and into. I mean, some people can just talk about the positive things and forget about the present. God's word reminds me that God's at work in every area of your life. Someone used an illustration the other day. They reminded me of three people waiting at a bus stop. And they're waiting at the bus stop, and waiting and waiting, and the bus comes along and doesn't stop, and it keeps going straight past them. And this person said, these people waiting at the bus stop had different ideas of how they would interpret what had happened. I know how I'd interpret it if the bus didn't stop. I'd have some words. But one of them had a book with them, and they realized this would give them a chance to read more of the book, and otherwise they mightn't have, and they were very happy. And they rejoiced. I thought, wow, fancy that. And another person was talking, and they thought, this gives me more time to chat and talk. And what this person said, this reminds us, is that often it's not the circumstance that determines what's happening inside your life. It's what's happening inside your life that determines the way you see the circumstance. And as I read God's word each day, I'm reminded that circumstance doesn't govern my life. My life governs how circumstance is going to be viewed and what's going to unfold from circumstance to circumstance from this point on. And so I'm encouraged by a daily reading of God's word to get on top of circumstance, to get in a place where God and I in relationships, Jesus and I in relationship, Spirit and I in relationship are going to be transforming and changed and going to bring transformation to the world around me. So I encourage you to develop a habit of getting into God's word each day and see the difference it can make. Just down the bottom, one of the dangers of reading God's word is that you can just read it objectively and say, it seems to say this, it seems to say that. I've been reading recently, Soren Kierkegaard was a thinker who said, no, when we describe things and count things, we need to realize everything we're involved in is subjective. It's what we choose to do. It's what we choose to think. But we're not alone in that. It's God with us, the God of eternity with us, changing the world we see. So on to the next slide. The other thing the Bible reminds me of is that God has a purpose for your life. There's mission for your life. That is, you and I are shaped for mission. They say people in the Second World War locked away in prison camps, etc., the people who really did well and got through are those who had a sense of purpose and mission that carried them through. They've even made that film, The Sound of Music. There were tough times, but it was that sense of purpose that carried them through. God's word each day can remind you of that sense of purpose and mission. God's word each day can remind you of that sense of peace and rest that we're meant to have in life. Life can be unsettling. Life, there can be troubling things that happen. God's word helps us to reintegrate those areas of life so that we're in peace and rest. And God's word reminds us that we were made for more. We were made for more. And on the next slide. So I encourage daily Bible reading habits, and I've put some sheets out. And you could contact Jared or me if you want a sheet that just gives you a few steps towards daily Bible reading that you could do. Firstly, set aside a place. And so each day there might be a place where you might want to sit down and read God's word. And so set aside a place. Secondly, set aside a time. So one of the things that I'll do of an early morning is set aside about 10 to 20 minutes just to read a passage from God's word and hear what God is saying to me. And I'll usually do that with my wife. Thirdly, use a plan that works for you. And I'll put one up the back, and Jared's got a plan as well. and you could look at these various plans. And some of them, you can just work through different sections. You might not want to begin with Genesis. You could begin with the Gospels or begin with a passage. You might want a balance that uses different sections. Some people have plans that go through in 1 year, some in 3 years. Others spend longer in a whole book. You might want to spend a bit more time in a whole book. So I encourage you, have a plan that works for you. The important thing is to be getting into God's Word. And then begin with the right attitude, prayer and worship. So beginning as we did today, worship, thankfulness, that'll make a difference. Then begin to observe what's leaping out. What do you sense God is speaking of, reminding you of in His Word? And then begin to reflect and go deeper. And then also, I encourage you to journal and write down the things that God is saying. And so I do some of that. I also begin to think, what prayers do I want God to work through in my life? I have need. I put down some of the needs. And I'm amazed to look back after a week or so and see answers to my prayer. Sometimes you wouldn't spot that if you don't write down those journal prayer notes. So I encourage you to write that down as well. And on the next slide, here's one example. I'll put this one at the back, and Jared will have another one as well. So you can go through these 52 weeks, and you don't have to start necessarily there. This one, of course, has a selection from different parts of the Bible, and you could mark them off and start from one section and work through. I think the important thing is to engage with God's Word, get more into God's Word. The challenge, of course, is that if you just do a devotion and it's just you and God, sometimes you can be so vocal about what you think is happening, it leaves God out of the picture, leaves everyone else out. So there is a slight danger with this, but I don't think that's the reason to give up on that. I think that's the reason to push through. And you might want to do a bit more study at some stage. You might want to get a good book about the book that you're reading. You might be reading through the Gospel of John. You might want to go a bit deeper. So you could even get three or four people. One of the things we've done is we get three or four people together and we work our way through a book of the Bible like Gospel of John, and you might want to meet for half an hour a week or so and do a reading together. You might read a commentary. There's some ways in which you could go deeper. So I encourage you, talk about ways you could go further and deeper into God's Word to strengthen how you engage with God's Word. And then another example, sometimes if you're struggling with God's Word speaking to you and you want a bit more, find some of the great men of God in the past. Oswald Chambers is a blessing to me, and my wife and I have read that for a while, and so you might want to go with a devotional like Oswald Chambers. One of the things he reminds us in today's devotion is that just like you shouldn't be eating bread that was 3 months old, you should be eating, you know, fresh bread. In the same way, we need God's Word speaking to us each day. So I encourage you there. So Oswald Chambers is quite good. And the next slide gives us another example from Oswald Chambers. Being born again by the Spirit is a work of God, as mysterious as the wind, as surprising as God Himself. We don't know where it's been. It's hidden away in the depths of our soul. Being born again from above is enduring, perpetual, eternal beginning. It provides a freshness all the time in thinking, talking, living, continual surprise of the life of God within. Staleness is an indication of something in our lives out of step with God. We say to ourselves, I have to do this thing or it will never get done. So we're caught up in works. That can be a staleness. This is a sign of staleness. Do we feel fresh each morning? Or are we getting this fresh life that we need? And so as Debbie and I read through that, we'll get some insights. We'll begin to write that down. And then on the next slide, there's a number of different devotions that you could read. So if you just put in daily devotions and then crosswalk as this example, you've got lots of different people there and different devotions there. Or you could start to develop your own. So on the next slide, I've started to put on Facebook a few thoughts as I put them together. So if you want to have a look at my Facebook sometime, you could actually see what my wife and I are doing. Or even better, you can start your own blog or Facebook and put some ideas up there, because you've got a unique message that you could share. And one of the things that we're finding with these new platforms, and on the next slide, and so you could do as Debbie and I have done,
So there's a picture of us at the beach, and then saying, beginning of the year, an ideal time to walk and talk with God, see things from a new perspective. Without such times, we can be so earthbound to fail to see heavenly potential. All around, many voices communicate to us, but in prayer, we open our mind to what God is doing, the bigger world, the heavenly perspective, allow God to communicate His nature to us. In conversation with Him, our own thoughts can cause us at times to miss what's happening, but in conversation with Him and His Word, we can be transformed and changed. So I encourage you to all go out now and start blogs and to start something and to communicate there. For your children and grandchildren, you might want to write down testimony of God doing things in your life. You might put it in form that can reach young people or children. You know, think about how can we communicate the testimony of the good things God is doing in your life? Because God is doing something great in every one of your lives. And some might say we've got challenges. Let me encourage you or whatever. The bigger the challenge you have, the bigger the opportunity for God, in a sense. And I guess, as I said before, we all face some big challenges, but we all have big resources in God and big opportunities for testimony in Him. And then on to the next slide. So I encourage you, early this year, develop some habits that will change your life. I encourage you, develop healthy eating habits, exercise habits, reading habits, but mostly I encourage you, a time with God will make a difference in your life. Because it's not just with other people, it's a time with the living, eternal God and His power. And it's about relationship. It's about growing in relationship with Father God, who wants to relate to you. It's not just words, it's in fact a call to relationship with God each day. It's about salvation in Christ. It's not just words, but it's a transformed life through the salvation that Christ brings into your life. And it's about the fruit of the Spirit and the change of the Spirit. Each time you read God's Word, it makes a difference in your life because God's Spirit is at work in your life. Journal some of it. Pray some of it. And we'll take a moment now to pray for some people who want us to stand together with them. You know, God hasn't made us perfect and with all capacity. He's placed us in a limited world with the limitations of time and the body. But He's also done it in a way in which we have an interdependence and a need for one another. And so God places us in a way in which we need Him. We need His Spirit, we need Christ, and we also need one another. So we'll have a moment now to pray for those, if there's some people who want to come forward to be prayed for, or people where you are want to be prayed for. Let's stand now, and let's take a few moments to recognize, central to this message today is a reminder that we're not just talking about words, we're talking about the relational presence of God the Father amongst us today, to touch lives and change lives. The relational presence of Christ, the Savior, with us today to bring us into the fullness of salvation. The relational presence of God through the Holy Spirit today to bring us into the fullness of the Spirit today. We're going to pray now and believe for God to touch our lives as He brings us into relationship with Him. Let's pray also for an encouragement to be able to spend some more time in His Word this year, an encouragement that God will help us to understand His Word, to apply it, to give us the resources so that we can do more with God's Word. Opportunity in mission to communicate what God has revealed into our lives to other lives. Opportunity to be a testimony and be able to communicate that testimony as well in every area. And if there are challenges that one face, we believe we will be a testimony of God's presence in our lives. You know, God hasn't finished the story of your life. There can be some tougher chapters, but God's going to follow those with some stronger chapters about His presence that are going to change the narrative that's written about your life. And it's not just a narrative, it's about relationship with Him. So let's take a few moments. Let me pray now, and then opportunity for those who want to come forward further. Father God, We thank you for your presence amongst us today. We thank you for the transformation that salvation in Christ has brought in our lives, and we thank you that this wasn't the end point, but just the beginning point of the continued change and transformation that you're seeking to do in our lives. We pray for the rest of this year and in the years ahead that we'd be so changed, so full of your presence, so full of your purpose and spirit, that we would be a life-giving testimony to others around us. Amen. 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 So if people would like to come forward now.